Praise the Lord. Amen. God gives us an overflowing blessing, doesn't he? I want to read from two scriptures, Romans chapter 8, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. Romans chapter 8, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, I want to say I appreciate everything y'all have done for me and my family. I'm very, very grateful. May the Lord bless you. And today's service was tremendous. Brother Savage preaching great in the move of the Holy Ghost, and also the youth service. I just have really been enjoying these young preachers preaching. Praise God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. And Romans 8, you know, is the life in the Spirit, the sanctified life in the Spirit. But I want you to notice here, verse 9, it says, But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And I'm sure you know this, but that word quicken doesn't mean to run fast or make fast. It means to make alive. Amen. That same Spirit, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. I'd like to preach, if the Lord would help me, on the last great move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would you stretch your hand this way and ask God to help me preach? Heavenly Father, Lord, you know how much I need you. And Lord, it's not just me, it's this congregation and everybody that is affected by this service. Lord, my heart desires to help these people, and I can't do it unless you help me first. Loose my tongue, open up my heart, pour out your anointing in me, and then pour me out to this congregation. Lord, give us a tremendous altar service. Save, sanctify, fill with the Holy Ghost, heal the sick, encourage the discouraged. I'm praying for thy mighty glory and victory to come down in this place in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated in the presence of God. Amen. I'd like for the Lord to help me. He has helped other people in the past. He's helped me in the past. Samson, you know, I believe had supernatural strength because the Spirit of God came upon him. And he was able to take foxes and tie their tails together and put fire in the middle of them. And it went out. Amen. Those foxes went out and set ablaze fields. If God would help me to tie these two scriptures together and put his fire in our hearts, then maybe we can have a blazing altar service here tonight. I realize the first passage that I read to you is inspiring Christians that they can live a victorious life. But also it points to the fact that the Spirit of God is going to quicken our mortal bodies. Yes, he can quicken us to live a sanctified life in this mortal body right here. But I'm also going to tell you, he's going to so quicken us one of these days that our bodies are going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when Jesus comes again. And so as I look at the great transformation that takes place in our hearts, I realize that there's going to be a tremendous transformation that's going to take place in our bodies when Jesus comes again. And so all of this great things that's going to take place is going to be yet likewise a move of the Spirit of God. Amen. The new birth is a move of the Holy Ghost. Sanctifying power is a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a move of the Holy Ghost. Healings and the gifts of the Spirit are indeed when the Spirit of God comes down and touches a church and empowers them to do what they cannot do. And I also am going to tell you this, amen, that when Jesus comes again, amen, there is going to be a great move of the Holy Ghost in the church. Amen. Now, I hope we can all get in at that time. Amen. I realize the first great move of the Holy Ghost was when they was all in one mind and one accord and everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost. With that last great move of the Holy Ghost, I trust that everybody's going to be ready to get on out of here. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. You may be sitting there wondering what I believe. I'm a pre-tribber, but I'm going to try, amen, to preach this as generic as I can. Can we all be ready? Amen. And I believe that the Spirit of God working in a church service just like this helps us all to be ready for Jesus to come. All of these little moves of the Spirit helps us to be ready for that last great move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, I beseech ye therefore, amen, by the coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him. Amen. And the same Greek word that was used for gathering there is also used in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, where he told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. As the manner of some is. Amen. But as you see the day approaching, we're supposed to keep on gathering together or assembling together. And so I see from that that these services we have are like practice. Amen. We're practicing for that big gathering one of these days. Amen. Our camp meetings where we have a lot of people coming together, there's practicing. We're practicing for that last great general gathering of the church of the living God. Now, let me tell you something. There's a lot of churches have performances, but they do not resemble what's going on in heaven that's called worship. Amen. I hope our church services resemble heavenly services because that's what we're really practicing for, folks. Amen. We want to go to heaven and we're going to go there really quick one of these days. Oh, I hope the Lord will help me. We live in the last days. Y'all believe that? Amen. I mean, there's all kinds of signs. Ezekiel 38 prophesied the rise of Russia as well as their intertwining, amen, with the other Islamic nations. Amen. If you read there in Ezekiel 38, there's all kinds of amazing things that take place. Amen. As well as the idea that there is a nation called Israel in the last days. I know we see it in the paper so often, or we hear about it on the news so often. We've kind of gotten used to it. But do you realize from around 600 B.C. to 1948, Israel was not a self-governing nation except for a brief time when the Maccabees was ruling. Amen. But at any rate, they were under the power of the Gentiles, and it was not a Jewish nation for many years, since 70 A.D., amen, till 1948. You have to admit, we're living in a miraculous generation right now, and that may bore you, but I'm telling you, every time you hear about Israel in the news, you ought to be saying, Jesus is coming again. Amen. In fact, in all reality, it's such a small nation. There's bigger nations in this world that's having civil war and all kinds of problems, and you never hear about them in the news. Amen. All Israel would make up as far as a strip of land is a few counties in Georgia. Do you know that? It's just a little bitty country. Amen. It has, I think, around 8 million people in it. Amen. Listen, it's not a very large country, but it's the center of world attention. I'm just saying this to recognize that we are in the last days. And when this time called the last days comes about, there's doctrines of devils that can deceive. Amen. There's iniquity that abounds and love that abates. Amen. There's discouragement that can come upon the church. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man shall return, amen, shall he find faith on the earth? There are many people that are losing faith. They're losing hope. Amen. In fact, this is called the blessed hope. And if in all reality the devil could attack our faith, our hope, our love, and discourage the church of the living God by all the things we see. Listen, folks, it bothers me. Amen. All the stuff that's going on that's making our world look like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not just in America. It's all around Europe and Canada and so on. Amen. Oh, it's such a grieving thing. But instead of looking at the sin that seems to be abounding and let my love grow cold, I'm going to have to say that that's just another sign that Jesus is coming. And if Jesus is coming, I'm also going to have to start looking for another sign. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Well, I want to read another scripture to you. Amen. Because I'm planning on having a move of the Holy Ghost until I die or until Jesus comes. How about you? Amen. In 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched in him, in all utterance. That's talking about speaking in tongues. Amen. And in all knowledge. That's the gifts of knowledge. Even as is the testimony of Christ that was confirmed in you. So that you come behind in no gift. That's the gifts of the Spirit. Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you get that? Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that scripture, amen, kills two ideas. The first idea is that somehow the Corinthian church was carnal and had problems because they had the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. The Apostle Paul didn't say, boy, I wish y'all didn't have them gifts. He said, I thank my God. Amen. That you excel in those gifts in so many words. He was thanking God for the gifts. Amen. The gifts didn't cause the problems. Amen. There was other reasons for those problems. Don't blame speaking in tongues for that. Amen. I just want you to understand. Amen. That kills that doctrine, that idea. The second doctrine, a false doctrine that it kills, is that somehow, somewhere between the giving of the Holy Ghost and the gift of the Spirit to the church, that somewhere between then and the second coming of Jesus, they was going to stop. Amen. But Paul said, amen, you don't come behind in any gift waiting for the coming of the Lord. And so Paul and the church at Corinth was expecting a move of the Holy Ghost right up to the time that Jesus came again. Hallelujah. Amen. It's some new doctrine. Amen. To come out with it and say, well, their tongues is going to quit. Amen. The miracles are going to cease. God don't do anything anymore. I'm here tonight to tell you, amen, there's going to be little moves of the Holy Ghost all the way up to that last great move of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Whew. Amen. I hope y'all forgive me. I use the word rapture, you know. Amen. And some people don't use that. Amen. They say it's not in the Bible. But you know, Bible's not in the Bible. Amen. It's not there. I mean, it's on the cover, I know, but it's not in the Bible. Amen. Get your concordance and look for it. It's not there. Amen. The Word of God is there and all them other things, you know. That. But at any rate, I need to hurry. I'm getting close to quitting time. I hadn't even started. But so I use that word and the word caught up, that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the same word. That it's the same meaning there. And just like a lot of words, there's more than one meaning to that word that I found a scholar gave to me. So I hope y'all will help me tie these two truths together. Amen. Because I believe the meanings of these words, of this word for caught up or rapture, amen, can show us how that we're supposed to get ready for that when we're having church. Amen. Y'all believe that same Spirit's going to quicken our mortal bodies, don't you? Well, I'll tell you what, if we're used to obeying the Spirit of God at all times, whether we're in church or not, I think that we'll be ready for that last great move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I hope I hadn't muddied this water up just too much here. Y'all understand what I'm trying to preach to you? Amen. So the first meaning of that word caught up or rapture, it actually means a suddenness. Amen. A sudden. Amen. You know it's gonna be really quick. It's a moment in a twinkling of an eye. You're not gonna have time to go make things right or pay that bill. Amen. You're not gonna have time to pray through 30 minutes and ask God's forgiveness. You just have to be ready because there's a sudden. About the second coming of Jesus Christ. Also, I'm going to tell you there is a suddenness about the moving of the Spirit in a service. I have seen Him come and leave in a song service, and some that was ready got blessed, and some that was not was standing there watching and saying, boy, the Lord sure helped them. Amen. I want you to understand we got to be ready for the sudden moving of the Spirit of God in a church service, because I believe He's trying to get us ready for that last great move of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I preached at Russellville Youth Camp a number of years ago, and they had lunch. They was cleaning up, and some of the people in the is washing dishes got to talking about the Lord. Got to talking about the Lord. And all of a sudden, He moved in the dishwashing crew there. Suddenly He moved while they was washing dishes. And suds started flying and people started shouting. Amen. Kids was out playing volleyball, softball, talking here and there, you know. Amen. The Holy Ghost fell while they was washing dishes. And the cooks came in and started saying, well, what's going on here? And the Spirit of God moved on the cooks. And they started shouting. Amen. The Spirit of God moved suddenly, unexpectedly, amazingly. Amen. Wasn't too long. And I just found this out this year. Amen. Brother Michael Brandon, and some of y'all know him from our area, Brother Michael Brandon's wife got filled with the Holy Ghost that day. She said, I was out playing volleyball, and all of a sudden, a roaring noise started coming out of the fellowship hall. And we all stopped playing volleyball, and we said, what's going on in there? Sound like people praising God. Sound like something's happening in the fellowship hall. And so the volleyball game shut down. And the softball game shut down. Amen. And all the kids that was out around the concession stand, they stopped what they was doing to go in and see what God was doing suddenly. Amen. And I tell you, God just interrupted everything going on that whole campground that day. Amen. They moved into the fellowship hall, and Michael Brandon's wife told me, she said, I'll tell you, I went in there and the Holy Ghost was moving on them. She said, I raised my hands. Next thing I knew, I was underneath one of the tables speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Listen, folks, there's got to be something about us that's ready. Whether we're playing volleyball, softball, amen, cooking, washing dishes, or what, there's got to be something about us that has to be ready at any time. Amen, we need to be ready for the moving of the Spirit in our hearts as well as when the trumpet blasts. Oh, there's a suddenness about this. A suddenness, I say. And then the second thing, I'm trying to hurry here, the second definition, amen, was to seize by force. To seize suddenly, and then a seizing by force. Sound like there's some resistance, but I'll tell you, there's a seizing by force. Amen. I don't know. I don't understand some of the stuff. I've read different interpretations. I'm sure y'all got your theories. Amen. But in Jude, amen, I think it's verse 7 or something like that, where it says, Michael the archangel durst not bring a railing accusation against Satan when that he was contending with him over the body of Moses, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Hey, man, y'all read that, hadn't you? I really don't understand that. Hey, man, I know some of y'all do, but I don't. And I've read stuff, but I really can't understand that. Y'all might could explain it to me later. But I do know this. Everything God tries to do, the devil hates and tries to resist it. Amen. And if God was wanting to have a funeral for Moses, the devil's going to show up and try to hinder the funeral. Whatever was going on. Amen. Michael, go down there and bury Moses. Bury him where nobody can find him. And there's the devil trying to sneak around. Amen. I don't know why he was there, but I'll tell you, amen, he just loves to hinder anything God's doing. Amen. And I really don't know how. I know he tries to hinder the church, and I don't know that he could hinder the rapture. But if the forces of hell was marshaling against the church and trying to keep us in this world, I want you to know there's a greater power that could come right down in the middle of the devil's playground and pull us right out of here, and he can't do a thing about it. He won't be able to stop it. Amen. No, the church will be gone one of these days. Amen. Michael buried Moses or something. I know maybe some of y'all think he was resurrecting Moses. I don't know. Whatever you want to say, the devil lost. Will we agree with that? The devil lost and God's will was done. I don't care. Listen, amen, God is going to have a church in heaven one of these days, and there's not a thing the devil can do about it. But I'm also going to tell you, the devil tries to shut down many of services and tries to hinder the church of the living God from doing the things that God wants them to do. Amen. And you can believe the devil if you want to and say, well, God don't move anymore. God can't move anymore. Well, why can't he? Well, you got to understand, the spirit of Antichrist is getting stronger and stronger, and the Holy Ghost is getting weaker and weaker. Where in the Bible is that? Amen. I don't know where it is. Amen, but there's people that believe that the spirit of Antichrist is going to get so strong and people are going to quit getting saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and people are going to quit getting healed. I'm just going to tell you, I defy that doctrine, first of all. Because I think it may be from good people that's been listening to the whispers of Satan. Amen. And he's robbed them of their faith. And I'm here tonight to tell you, just like Paul wrote to the Corinthians, amen, the gifts need to be in abundance, amen, while the church is waiting for the Lord to come again. And I still believe that however powerful the spirit of Antichrist gets in this old wicked world, there's still a greater power. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Hey, I want you to know the church can have revival, amen, no matter what the devil's doing, and he can't hinder us. We keep on obeying God, souls can get saved, people can get filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, we was in revival a few years ago, and the last night of it we had a baptismal service, and the Spirit of God was moving in our church. People was a shouting and a running. Hallelujah. And when they was, all of a sudden I looked up in the back, there was a lady had been backslid 15, 20 years. Hey man, I looked up. I tried to get them to come to church. Never came. When I was there, there she was. Hey man, Spirit of God falling, Holy Ghost moving. I went back to her, felt like it. I didn't just do it. I went back to her and I said, "Aileen, you know, we're glad to have you. We're real happy to have you. But, you know, the Spirit of God's moving. You can be saved tonight. You can really be saved." She said, "I don't feel anything, Brother Lloyd. I don't feel anything." I didn't know she was a gambling addict. In fact, the night before, she'd been down at the gambling casinos. Hey, man, she was a gambling addict. She was addicted to it all the time. Anyway, God help me, Lord. And so I went on. We was up there praying. People was seeking God. Hey, man, and Brother Wayne Armbrister went back there to her. Said, "Aileen, the Holy Ghost is moving here, and you can be saved." She said, "Brother Wayne, I don't feel anything." And he reached out his hand like this. He said, "What would it take for you to feel my hand?" And she said, just like you, she said, "If I just reached out and got a hold of it." He said, "You know what? That's all you got to do. Just reach out and get a hold." Next thing I knew, she's up in the altar. She'd prayed through. She got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. She got baptized in water that night. Amen. Hallelujah. Free from gambling. Amen. I want you to know there was a greater power in that church service than whatever was binding her heart and keeping her back. And I want to tell you, backslider, sinner friend, there's a greater power in the church of the living God through the blood of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Ghost can set you free from whatever sin and whatever habits there are and get you ready for that last great move of the Holy Ghost. But folks, if we're going to fight the powers of hell in this last day, we're going to have to be full of God's power. There's going to have to be a greater power in the church than there is in this world. Y'all believe that? Oh, glory. Glory to God. Amen. There was another definition. It meant to move from one place to another. Oh, glory. To move from one place to another. Suddenly, amen, by force, amen, to move from one place to another. Oh, yes. I'll tell you, it's a better place, by the way. Now, listen, I know y'all love Georgia, and I love Arkansas, and I love Kentucky, too, because I'm originally from Kentucky. But anyway, I love all them places. But at the same time, there's places even better than Kentucky and Arkansas and Georgia, folks. There's places better than Missouri.
Hallelujah. There's places better. It really is. Amen. Well, there's one place better. Let me put it that way. Amen. That place called heaven. Amen. And in Numbers chapter 10, verses 1. Amen. It tells about the making of those silver trumpets. And it tells that those silver trumpets for the children of Israel was used, to call assemblies and also for journeyings. Amen. So there was different blasts that was given for princes to come. Have a meeting. There was a different blast for the congregation to assemble when they needed to get together. And then there were certain blasts that was given when they needed to get ready to move. And then there was that last trumpet blast that said, let's move on out of here. Well, when they was moving through the wilderness, let me tell you something. It was probably a hard time moving from one desert place to another, one trial to another. Amen. But one of these days, the trumpet blast finally came. You're going to Canaan. You're going into the promised land. Amen. When you're going home, it sounds a whole lot better, that last trumpet. And I'm preaching the trumpet of the gospel right now, and that's a good one. Get ready, get ready. But there's going to be a last trumpet sound, and we're not going to go from one battle to another. We're not going to go from one trial to another. Amen. From searching for water to finding water. Amen. We're going home. We're going to a place that's better than you can imagine. It's above and beyond what we can, and it can happen tonight. We're moving out, folks. Oh, yes. We're just getting ready to move out. Woo. I love camp meetings. I always have. I just love them. I love church. I love it. But you know, there's something better than church. There's something better than camp meeting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's something about camp meeting. You see people. You know, I see these folks from Brother Baker and y'all. I see them, known them for years. Amen. Different ones that's here. Amen. It's so exciting getting to go. It really is. You know, Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians 4 because somehow they was thinking that if somebody died in Christ, they wouldn't all be able to get together over there. And he said, I'm just going to tell you, it's not going to happen to where that we prevent those that are dead in Christ. Amen. They're going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain, we're going to meet the Lord and them in the air. So shall we ever be with. And I tell you, there's family reunions in heaven. Amen. There's a family reunion. Grandma and Papa. Amen. Amen. The old deacons that were here. I want you to know there's going to be a great reunion day one of these days. That last great move of the Holy Ghost is going to bring us all together. Hallelujah. We're going to move on out of here to never-ending camp meeting where we're with our loved ones from years gone by and all those people we read about in the Bible. We're going to have a Holy Ghost, amen, shouting victory when we get over yonder. Hallelujah. And so I want to ask you, why is it so hard for us to move when the Holy Ghost is moving here? Amen. Y'all believe He'll move us to a better place, don't you? Y'all believe He'll move us to where we're stronger and healthier and better. Hallelujah, more joyful. Hallelujah, more powerful. Yeah, you know He'll do that right here in this service. He'll move you to more joy. He'll move you to greater peace. He'll move you to greater strength. Oh, yes, He will. I'll tell you what y'all do. Amen. When the Holy Ghost is moving, move with Him. Oh, He'll move you to a better place. Oh, yes. If they're doing a Jericho march, do it. Well, I don't feel anything. You might get to feeling something. Amen. They're singing a song and somebody else is getting blessed. Sing it with them. You might get blessed too. Amen. If you're in the back and you see the Holy Ghost is moving up here, get close to where the Spirit... Move, friend. Move. Because one of these days we're going to move out of here. And I want to be ready to move at a moment's notice. Hallelujah. I want to be ready to go. Oh, amen. Amen. Next thing was to claim as one's own. I love that one. Amen. I wish I had the strength to preach here tonight. Amen. To claim for one's own. Y'all know the customs of the Hebrews. They'd make the engagement. Fella go away for a while, prepare his father's house for his bride, and then unexpectedly, you know, come in about a year or so, and she had to be ready. Amen. She had to have everything in order. If it was at midnight and the bridegroom came, she had to be ready. Amen. Oh, glory to God. She had to be ready. And so here he was. Amen. He engaged. He had the engagement. I'm sure that's wonderful. Amen. But, you know, the marriage was a celebration, I believe, of 7 days. You know, they had a celebration. And that was a whole lot better. The engagement of the expectation of it all was wonderful. But, you know, the marriage was even better. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I was glad when my girlfriend, Sherry Rush, said she would be my bride. I was proud. I was thankful. I was glad to be engaged. That, you know, I was a whole lot happier to be married. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, the Lord has given us such blessings during this engagement period. Amen. Such blessings. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. He's given us the seal of the Spirit. That's a part of the engagement. The blessings of peace and joy. That's all a part of that blessing. If the engagement is this good, can you imagine what the marriage supper of the Lamb and the joyful celebration and glory is going to be? I want to be ready where he can claim me for his own. You know what that means? We got to be his own right now. That's right. Amen. We got to act like his. I'm not the world's property. I'm not the devil's. I don't belong to this old sinful system. You are too. You're completely different if you're saved. Amen. I want to ask you something. You know, let's just say this boy fell in love with this girl. Amen. John is his name. But she used to have an old boyfriend named Fred. All right? Old boyfriend named Fred. And she goes... You know, or he goes to pick her up one day. They're going to go out to eat and go to the mall, whatever. And he knocks on the door. She comes to the door. And she's got this old shirt that Fred gave her. My heart belongs to Fred. What do you think of that? Why are you wearing that shirt? That's my favorite shirt. It feels good on me. I like it. I've wore it all the time. Well, your heart don't it's not supposed to belong to Fred no more. It's supposed to belong to me, right? Well, it don't matter. You know my heart belongs to you. Just this outside don't matter. The outside don't matter. You know, my heart belongs to you, really, but just because my T-shirt says my heart belongs to Fred, now you know. You know the engagement's over right there. Don't you know that? She might as well go back and find Fred somewhere, right? Hey, man, so I want to ask you something. Hey, man, I want to just say this. If you're a Christian, there are all kinds of Bible commands for all of us Christians. There's things about our business dealings and honesty. There's things about our attitude and actions. And there's things about our appearance as well. And God expects everything about us to show we belong to Him. Amen. In Old and New Testament alike, the Bible teaches modesty. The Bible teaches a distinction between the male and the female. And I can't wait to hear some of these liberal preachers preaching against men wearing dresses. They may not. But men are wearing dresses right now. Amen. Men are wearing dresses right now. And it's just as wrong for a man to wear dresses as it is for a woman to dress like a man. You say, well, what should a woman wear? What a man should not wear. A man should not wear a dress. Well, I thought y'all would say amen more on that. Glory to God, I'll tell you what, folks. I want everybody to know I belong to Him. I want everybody to know my wife belongs to Him. I'm not ashamed of everybody in this world looking at us because it shows our identity, who we love. Amen. My heart does not belong to this world. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And one of these days, in a sudden manner, He's going to come back and show that I and us, all of us that's in the church, belongs to Christ. What an honor. But you know, to me, the sudden moving of the Spirit, amen, is getting out a bride. It's a sanctifying thing. It's a sanctifying thing where that there are, listen, the first and great conviction we all need to have is the Bible is God's Word and it's right no matter what I think. That's the first big conviction. And there's Bible convictions. Amen. The Word of God is true. Amen. Amen. Whatever anybody thinks, it's right. Amen. If the world thinks it's wrong. Amen. But, like Brother Savage said, there's personal things. Everything ought to be personal in a sense. I understand that. But there's things that might bother me that won't bother you. There might be an idol to me, might not be to you. But if I could add a little bit to that personal convictions, to me, when I've read in church history and stuff, they didn't just guard themselves from things that they thought would be a bridge to sin. They also guarded their prayer life. They guarded their spirituality. If there was anything that hindered them from hearing from God or feeling God, they'd put it aside. I hope y'all forgive me. I went through a little time where it seemed like the Lord was speaking to me pretty plain. And one day I was looking at the news on my phone and I was going from one thing to another. And I felt like the Lord stopped me. He didn't convict me of never looking at the news or whatever, reading the news. But He said, the greater and more attention you place on this world, the less you'll hear from me. And I think to myself, I got to keep up with some of this stuff. I can't be ignorant. But yet I cannot so focus on that that God's voice is somehow, amen, there has to be a moving of the Spirit. Our hearts have to be tender. Why? Because we belong to Him. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. I was in a restaurant not too long ago. Amen. I can't tell you all about this, why this happened, but I was in a restaurant a little while ago, and my wife said, is something wrong with your eyes? Tears was coming. She said, you got water in your eyes. I said, honey, the Lord just spoke to me. Glory to God. And she said, well, don't start crying right here. Well, But I really would have liked to just went off in a corner somewhere. Folks, listen, you can be in a restaurant. You can be anywhere. But if you're His, my sheep know my voice. And one of these days, everybody that can hear His voice is going to hear Him say, come up hither, my bride, come on up. But you got to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. And I'd say, whatever's in that book, you live up to it. And whatever God draws the line on in your personal life, make sure your prayer life and your worship life is right up. I'm going into overtime right now. I'm preaching to you the last thing. The last thing was, amen, to protect, amen, to come and seize by force suddenly, to claim for one's own self, amen, but to move to a place of safety and a place of protection. Amen. Can I tell you, we are still in danger while we walk through this old wicked world. Amen. There's been too many great people backslide for me to start giving up and saying, well, I can take it easy right now. Amen. We're still in danger until the trumpet sounds. But one of these days, all the danger's going to be gone. We're going to move up to a place where there ain't no devil, there ain't no sin. Amen. And temptation is just something of a history gone by, like an old nightmare that you shook out of. Amen. You finally got free from. It's gone, gone, gone forever. Safe. Safe. Safe from powers of hell and temptation. But not only that, amen, safe from the wrath of God that's about to be poured out on this world. Because when the church leaves, friend, there's going to be a danger more dangerous than the devil and anything else you can think of. Because God's going to pour out His wrath on this old wicked world. And the only safe place is to be ready when the Spirit of God moves on you. Glory, 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 hallelujah. There's people here tonight, you're not safe. No, you're not. The only thing you can do is move up right now and get right with God where you can move out of here when the trumpet sounds. Praise the name of Jesus. Hey, amen. I'd like for my wife to come up here just real quick. Hey, amen. She didn't know I was going to do this. Here's my beautiful, wonderful wife. You know what? I'd die for her. I really would. Amen. If she was in danger, I'd do whatever I could. I really would. And I know you other men would too. Amen. I trust you boys have that in your mind. Amen. But can you imagine at the point where there's the greatest danger, at the point where it's not just the devil and the world and the flesh out there. Amen. But it's the wrath of God. And Jesus Christ is up here in heaven. He sees His bride. Amen. He sees His fiancée, if I could say it that way. He sees her under attack. And He comes and says, you're mine. Come out of that danger. Come on up here to this safe place. Come on up here to this place of safety. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's going to do it for the church one of these days. Don't you want to be a part of the church? But I'm also going to tell you this. He does it in a church service by moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Michael, come on up here. Amen, yeah. He told where he was battling something, whatever it was. Amen. He's told me he was battling something and he went to Bristow camp meeting. Praise God, and the Spirit of the Lord moved on a Tuesday night, and whatever was around him battling him, amen, the Holy Ghost came and said, move on up here a little bit higher. Come on up here. Get out of that trouble for a while. Amen. Get in this safe place where the Spirit of God's a moving. That's what you need to do. Amen. There's probably some young person here tonight that's battling temptations. Amen. And the devil's been worrying you and bothering you. But the same spirit that's going to quicken our mortal bodies and get us out of this world of trouble and get you out of your weakness into His power and His strength and His might. I'm telling you, this is practice. This is practice here tonight. You need a move of the Holy Ghost to get you up higher. Glory. Glory. Oh, that sister back there that testified no cancer. Who knows what services where she was feeling the Holy Ghost. You talk about chemo or radiation. What about the Holy Ghost presence that can move you up out of sickness into healing and into being well? I want you to know there's a higher place here tonight. There's a place of safety right here. Oh, glory, glory, glory. He can move you to a safe place right here. Oh, glory. Amen. I think we're praying for a boy named Adam here this morning. Is he here right now? Amen. Amen. All right, Adam, come on. Where are you? Come on down here, buddy. We're going to start out down here. Amen. Do you need the Holy Ghost? Do you need the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, I'll tell you, God, you're a child of God, aren't you? Amen. You're a child of God. Amen. You're one of His sons, right? Hallelujah. You're a child of God. Just think of that. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Has the Lord done a work of sanctifying power in you? Hallelujah. I tell you, He can do it. He can do it. Amen. Amen. I don't know what you're facing, but come on up here. He was a praying real good, and people was praying with him. I want to just say this to you. I appreciate all the altar workers. You know what? We just can't get through to that safe place without altar workers a lot of times. Amen. But here this young man is. I don't know what trouble he's going through. I'll tell you this. I believe there's a move of the Spirit that can lift him right up out of where he is, out up into a place of power and safety and anointing and glory. Amen. He can baptize him in the Holy Ghost and give him power to face whatever's going on. Yes, Jesus is going to come and get the church out of this world one of these days. But I'll tell you, He can give us power to live in this world and yet be victorious, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. Yes, there's one last great move of the Holy Ghost. The dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. But I'm going to tell you, we're having a service right here tonight, and the devil can't do anything about what God's got planned in this altar. Oh. Oh, amen. Do you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I want you to come on up here if you need the baptism. Amen, ladies. You can pray on this side, men on this side. But if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come up here. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Hey, if you need to be saved tonight, there is a God that can save you and change your life. You say, I can't live it. Neither could I. None of us could. If it wasn't for God and His power, amen, we'd all be sinners. And praise God, He delivered us. Amen. If you need to be saved, you can sure come up here right now. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want to see young people, maybe all of them coming up here already. But I'll tell you, if you've got lost parents, I want you to especially come up here. Amen. God can fill you up with power and send you home. Amen. And make you a mighty force in that house. Oh, yes, He can. Is there somebody say, Brother Lloyd, I need to be delivered. I need to be delivered. I'm not safe. Amen. There's some temptation, some power that's fighting against against me. I need to get above this. I need to get out of this. Hey, man, there's a God in heaven that can help you right now. Oh, yes. Hey, man, how long will God move in the church until Jesus comes? And then he'll move us out of this old world and we'll be in heaven. Oh, glory be to God. Who else is going to come and say, I need a move of the Holy Ghost here tonight? You need a refilling of the Spirit of God. Oh, you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You say, I need to be more tender to the Spirit of God here. I need to be more tender to the Spirit of God. I need a full and overflowing experience.
Oh, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah, that's it.
My reservation.
Yeah, some of y'all already getting in the Holy Ghost.
I may not know the moment. And I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be.
If you need healing, there's a healer in the house.
I'm going.
Hallelujah.
Home with Jesus in the twinkling
of come on, everybody that will.
I made my reservation.
If you need prayer for your body, we'll be glad to pray for you.
And I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye.